Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. What's going on? Hope you had an awesome weekend. Great to be with you on this short week. Let's get it. Come strong. It is a short week. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right. Busy day. I've got three interviews, but they do not start until hour number two. So on this short week, you should get in for hour number one. 1-800-636-8686. Hit us up right now. If you want to call the program, you can do so, but you got to get through Adam Hawk, who looks like Mr. Rogers. What's up, dude? You in the neighborhood? Look at that red sweater. Or are you just getting ready to get your ass kicked by Ritt? More on that later on. You have your phone number. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, go ahead and do so. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveItTake.com. All right, so lots to get to on this Monday. I've got Mike Silver, who is a writer and an analyst for NFL Network. He joins me at the top of hour number two. In hour number three, jungle favorite, Cleveland Browns tight end. Therefore, he is America's tight end. Austin Hooper joins me. The Browns move to 7-3. Also coming up in hour number three, Chris Mannix will be joining us. Monday is an ATP day. Keep that in mind. And lots to cover. 1-800-636-8686. Now, you know, in season for the NFL, generally I start Monday with a recap. A recap of the NFL weekend. So why don't we do that? Like, it does go without saying that this is one of the weirdest, one of the strangest years ever. So it would stand to reason that it's kind of hard to predict exactly what you're going to get from week to week in the NFL. Fact is, some NFL Sundays are pretty whack. They just are. Others, though, are tremendous. And yesterday was definitely the latter because there was a grip of amazing moments. Amazing moments throughout the entire day yesterday, such as CeeDee Lamb doing this against the Vikings.
In the gun, Dalton looking left, throwing a fade, back of the end zone, diving. Lamb, what a catch! He's got the touchdown. What a catch by CeeDee Lamb. What an acrobatic play by CeeDee Lamb.
So, falling, diving, twisting. I've got no idea what he did on that play or how he caught that ball. I've watched it a dozen times. Like, the midair adjustment to the ball was outrageous. In fact, nearly as outrageous as Adam Thielen doing this in the second half of that same game.
Cousins back to pass, throws to the back right of the end zone. Down! Touchdown for Adam Thielen, his 10th of the year.
Another beautiful catch by Adam Thielen, a one-arm grab. He was held by Anthony Brown on the double move. And was still able to come down with that football.
How do you even ponder making that catch? Vikings radio. One hand up, 2 feet down, touchdown. And a perfect pass from Kirk Cousins. And an absolutely jaw-dropping catch from Thielen. This guy made that catch. Catching it as he's going out of bounds, but making sure that he stays in bounds. So, like, when you take a step back, the quality of receivers has gone through the roof in the past few years. If somebody made a catch like that in the 90s, they'd be tried for witchcraft, and they'd be fitted for a mustard blazer right there on the spot. But now, it's routine. Now you see this all the time. And it wasn't just Lamb, and it wasn't just Thielen who were putting up unreal touchdowns. Why don't we go to Baltimore, where Tennessee was taking on the Ravens, and where A.J. Brown was taking on every single Raven. Now, before I get into that, let's go back to before that game. Before the game started and the scene when the Titans gathered on the Ravens logo, John Harbaugh was not having any of that, and he came out and he started to bark at the Titans.
Well, Jim, we were talking all morning about the enormity of this game, and as you saw what happened, a skirmish in midfield because the Titans came out. They took the field. They went into the center, and Malcolm Butler yelling at the sideline to the Baltimore sideline, John Harbaugh coming out in disgust, Mike Vrabel coming out, the officials just giving warnings to both teams. But if this is any indication, expect some chippiness throughout this game, Jim.
I don't think there's any question.
Right? Like, logo taunting and logo protecting. I mean, these are like some of the weirdest traditions in football, right? Especially at that level. But if you're looking to make a statement on the other team's logo before the game, man, you better back it up. You better back it up. And at least for the first three quarters, the Titans were not doing that. Not really. Baltimore had a 21-10 lead in the third quarter, and then it all ripped apart. And it did so in the worst way imaginable. Back to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown did this to practically the entire Ravens defense.
Tannehill looks, fires. Brown makes the catch at the 10, spinning, driving his way to the 5, oh, into the end zone.
Wow.
How did he do it?
Wow.
Touchdown, Titans. Arthur 1, Brown carrying them. He's being pushed forward by McNichols, but he didn't need the help. He is a powerful man.
He is a powerful man. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you know what we're talking about here. If not, to call that a powerful man or a grown man touchdown, that would not begin to do it justice. Like, I'm not sure what's bigger or better than a, quote, grown man, but that was like Derrick Henry in a receiver's jersey. Four guys got a good shot at him, and every one of them came out worse for it. So that was a statement touchdown by Brown and by the Titans. It was a statement also by the Ravens in their inability to wrap up and tackle. But the Titans were not done. They then followed up that statement with another one in OT.
Henry gets the carry running left. Henry to the 25. Henry to the 20. To the 15. To the 10. To the
5. Yes! Oh, yes!
Two,
yes!
Three.
Yes! Yes!
Touchdown, Titans! As the Titans will run out of Baltimore with a shocker in OT.
Oh, yes!
Did I say yes?
Yes.
As you might have surmised, that was Titans radio. So Henry goes into a scrum. He somehow comes out of it the other side all by himself. And that's your ball game. Ball game, thanks for coming. So if you are going to walk all over the opposition's logo before that game, you sure as hell better finish that game. And that's exactly what the Titans did. And man, what a bizarre, bizarre day for the Ravens. In fact, that's not a one-off either. That's not an outlier. That's not just one weird day. Everything about the Ravens right now is weird. From Harbaugh jawing with Malcolm Butler about the logo, to blowing a double-digit second-half lead, to Harbaugh blowing off the post-game handshake with Mike Vrabel, to Lamar Jackson saying this after the game.
It looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they was playing physical. When we went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas, but we just got to keep it going. Finish teams.
Actually, Lamar, correction. It didn't just look like they wanted it more than you guys did. They actually did want it more than y'all. Fact. The Titans did want it more, and the Ravens did not want it nearly enough, as evidenced by their coming from ahead to lose, as evidenced of them not being able to hold a lead, a double-digit lead in the game they had to have. But, you know, when I have this Monday recap for you, and you see the Monday recap, obviously it's not all good news. I've got to highlight the bad as well. And there was some truly terrible yesterday, like the New York Jets. These guys are the absolute best. And by the absolute best, I mean the absolute worst. They have turned tanking into an art form. And the four-star general leading that tank brigade is none other than Crazy Eyes, Adam Gase. And what a performance his crew turned in against the Chargers yesterday. I mean, they come out on LA's first drive, they block a punt, then they turn that into a TD. Bam! Right off the bat, they're up 7-0. Except they weren't, because they missed the PAT. No worries. 6-0 it is. Man, these guys are motivated. They're jacked up. It's like they're playing in the Super Bowl. And in reality, for them, it is the Super Bowl. It actually was the Super Bowl. Any game where these losers have a lead is the Super Bowl. Any opportunity to get off the mat and not run the table backwards is their Super Bowl. And early on, it looked like it might be their day, because on LA's next drive, the Chargers march down the field, and then they fumble on the 4-yard line. Like, everything is coming up Jets. They're killing it. Now it's time for Joe Flacco to lead that team on a touchdown drive. And to hell if he didn't do that, he led a team to a TD. Roll it.
Joe Flacco now with his toes on the goal line with a 1st and 10 from his own 4 to pass. His first pass up the game. Intercepted. Touchdown, Chargers.
Hey.
Tavon Campbell. First career interception in his first season out of Regina by way of the CFL. And the Chargers are on the board.
That might be the fastest pick six I've ever seen. I mean, it was a gift. It was late to the flat. And it just was right to him.
My guys, Matt Money Smith, Daniel Jeremiah, and Big Joe Flacco. Hey, all right, so Big Joe led the wrong team to a TD, but man, he split those numbers. What a pick six that was. I mean, there are gifts, and then there's that. Honestly, I have no idea what that was, or what Joe Flacco saw, or what he thought he saw. Actually, I do know what he saw. I know exactly what he saw. He saw a chance to make sure that his team would not win that game and stay in the running for Trevor Lawrence. That's what he saw. I mean, things were going way too good for the Jets. Going way too well for the Jets. The last thing they needed was to melt down, choke, and win. But luckily, Flacco stepped the hell up, and he made sure that was not going to happen, which I love. You see, this is why you have a vet like that on your roster. This is what a veteran does. When everybody else is losing their mind and going off script, a veteran grabs the moment and takes over and settles everybody down and says, get the hell on my back. Follow me. This is who we are, and this is what we're about. We are losers, and don't any of you forget it. I don't need any of you going rogue and trying to win. What, you think you're better than us? That you're going to go out there and make a play or two and jack up everything that we've been working for all season long? The hell you are. We are winless, and that's exactly the way we're going to stay if I have anything to say about it.
I will. I'm going to.
Hey. And then right on cue, they remember exactly who the hell they are, and they turn that 6-0 first quarter lead into a 24-6 halftime deficit, and they make sure they finish to get to 0-10. Oh, and in case you were wondering, the Jets are officially now eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah, I know in reality, the second they first walked onto the field in week one, they were out of the playoffs, but now it's official. And by the way, if it weren't for the Jets being absolute garbage, there would be even more attention on Matt Patricia and the Lions because they are terrible, and they pretty much have been since he arrived. Jim Caldwell had been having success, but they fired him, and they brought Matt Patricia in and blew it up. And then they tried to put it back together and failed miserably. Hell, Patricia is making Caldwell look like Vince Lombardi. And by the way, he pretty much is compared to Patricia. Hell, Wayne Fonts could walk right in off the street tomorrow and get more out of these guys than Patricia currently is. Jim Caldwell made the Lions respectable. Matt Patricia has turned them into an utter and complete embarrassment. And since we're talking about the Lions, that really is saying something, right? If you say the Lions are embarrassing, compared to what? Them. That's bad, because they got smoked 20-0 by the Panthers yesterday. Easy, old man. Ritt is taking a victory lap back there on the other side of the glass. Gotta like the Ritt still a sports fan. Oh, man, you just focus on kicking Adam's ass. Come on, man. 20-0. 20-0. Panthers put a beat down on them. And by the way, not even the Teddy Bridgewater Panthers, but the P.J. Walker Panthers. I like P.J. Walker. I like his story. But if you're an alleged defensive genius, you should not be getting worked by 20 by P.J. Walker in his first NFL start. That is the third time in 3 weeks that the alleged defensive genius has lost by at least 14. So Patricia is on the clock, and he knows it, even if he's pretending like he doesn't know it.
I've had a philosophy for a long time. I go to work every day to try to earn my job. I mean, that's just what I do. That doesn't matter if it's coaching, doing engineering. I don't care if I'm in school. So, you know, look, I'm just going to go to work and work hard.
You know what? You know what? I'll say it. Very cool philosophy, brah. I appreciate that you work hard. But to make it sound like you have some radical new way of looking at the world because you work hard is pretty lame. Like, there's not a single coach on a single NFL team, on any staff, who doesn't bust his ass. So no credit for working hard. Working hard is not a badge of honor in your job. It is expected. It's like the bottom rung. You have to. If that's your separation, if that's what you bring to it, if that's what you think makes you unique, save ownership the trouble of firing you and just quit. Because just doing what everybody else does, namely work, is not nearly enough. Now, if you want to be unique, and if you want to separate yourself from the others, check out Sean Payton. Now, that's a guy who works hard. That's a guy who works smart, and that's a guy who does bring something unique and different to it, and that's a guy who gets results. Like the results he got when he made Taysom Hill the starter yesterday against the Falcons. 18 of 23, 233 yards, 10 runs for 51 yards, and this.
Taysom's going to keep it. Porter off the sideline, touchdown! Taysom Hill with the quarterback power we've been asking for, and he walks into the end zone. Taysom Hill from 2 yards out.
Taysom Hill was pretty damn nice. Not perfect. Didn't throw a TD. Did have a fumble, in fact. But that was pretty much the exact performance that Sean Payton was looking for when he named him the starter. And it was pretty much exactly what former Falcon Roddy White was not looking for when Payton named Hill the starter. On Friday, Roddy White tweeted, quote, "Saints about to get whip trying us with Taysom Hill at QB. We about to snack them," end tweet. I mean, it read pretty well at the time, right? And now it's ice cold. Ice cold tweet. Ice cold tweet that Roddy probably would like to have back because his old team did not snack the Saints. The Saints were the ones getting their snack on. But the best part was the fact that right after the game, Payton himself jumped on Twitter and retweeted Roddy White's tweet. I love that. I mean, I love that. That's the kind of straight fire that we've been hoping to get from Mike Tomlin when he jumped on Twitter and promised straight fire. Mike, you're 10-0, credit for that. But when it comes to a social media game, that's how you get it done. That's how you do it. Nothing but respect on the field and on your phone, Sean. He re-popped Roddy's tweet. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so that's kind of a whip around. A little recap of the weekend. Kansas City and Las Vegas get their own take. Joe Burrow goes down. I mean, such bad news. Such bad, bad news. But is there any surprise? I mean, did the Bengals do anything they could to protect this guy? Did they do everything they could to protect him? Obviously not. I want to get into that. Also, I've got some UFC for you from this past weekend. Mike Perry back in the news. And I like that. It is a short week, and because Florida, man, has taken such a beating here and everywhere else, you know, you get to balance this thing out, right? You have to find positives in certain things, even Florida, man. Today, Florida, man gets his due. Today, I keep it positive about Florida, man. Because after all, the world knows there really are just two different types of people in this world. There is the normal citizen, and there is the Florida man. And nothing in between. It's just those two groups. Florida man is going to get some run. Florida man is going to get some shine today on the program. Dear Jim, if the Ravens wanted to get back at the Titans for gathering at their logo, they should have tried to injure a Titans player. Sincerely, baseball's unwritten rules. Paul in Albany wore a Wally Backman reset. Jamie in Green
Wally
Bay.
Backman.
And I think he wanted the actual Backman. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, is Hawk going with the Fred Rogers and the you wouldn't hit a guy in glasses look because of Ritt? That's strong. I don't know why Hawk is going with that look. You'd have to ask Hawk. I haven't gotten that far yet. It's a look, all right. Ed Yellow Weasel, Hawk playing 4D chess with Ritt. Like, is he dressed as a scrawny nerd today, but will show up tomorrow with a black eye and a cut lip like Ed Norton in Fight Club to scare his coworkers? I'm sure he's got a reason. Hawk's got a reason for essentially everything. They're never good reasons, but I'm sure he's got a reason. I just haven't asked yet. All right, so again, 1-800-636-8686. We are wide open in the first hour. Mike Silver next hour. Austin Hooper and Chris Mannix in hour number three. Got a question for you clones. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? Well, there is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough. because they use only the finest ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to the real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite and comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned, Teriyaki, Peppered, and if you need a little more zing, Hot and Spicy. All chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide legitimate, sustained energy. Old Trapper is just a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand for you and your family both. If you don't see it, just ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Again, it's a short week. You want to get in? Make sure you get in early. It is a short week. Also, another reminder for you to celebrate the start of the most joyous time of the year, DraftKings. The leader in one-day fantasy sports is giving all users a shot at their $25 million Thanksgiving giveaway Thursday. Getting your share of up to $25 million in prizes is so easy. All you have to do is enter one of the DraftKings paid Thanksgiving football contests and then feast on your instant prize. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition, and remember, every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. For a limited time, all users can get a share of $25 million in prizes this week. Do not miss out on Thursday's action. Enter the code ROME. Get a share of $25 million in instant prizes when you enter a paid football contest on Thanksgiving. Codename Rome, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We are all over that. You should be too. All right, so quickly, some reaction. Wells tweets, at least the Jets put up somewhat of a fight this weekend. Signed, Hawk in the Writ v. Hawk workplace violence poll. All right, this is the very definition of something jumping the weekend. When I say something jumped the weekend, what I mean is something happened on the program on Friday, and then a few days go by, and you think that we'd all turn the page and move on, but we have not. It jumped the weekend. It made it to Monday. Dear Jim, I love Hawk's look today. When he came into the office this morning, did he take off his jacket, change his shoes, sit down, and tell everyone it was going to be a beautiful day in the jungle hood? A beautiful day in the jungle hood. James in Tucson. Would you be mine, Hawk? I mean, the dude does look like Fred Rogers. All right, so what are we talking about? What, in fact, jumped the weekend? What did you miss on Friday? The big head, James Kelly, came in to do big head bets. Had himself another big weekend. But on the way out the door, I said to him, we've already covered the NFL. Is there anything else that you might be looking at this weekend? And then out of nowhere, big head James Kelly goes with this.
I like the old man here, Jim. He's got combat experience. He fought in many wars in Bird. His stamina, it's a little increasingly declining.
Well, first off, what the hell is he talking about? I ran a marathon twice.
He's right.
That was in March, Hawk. Eisenhower has made a career out of whooping ass.
You right. Suck.
I'm still laughing. All right, so what he was doing was, when I said to James Kelly, do you have anything else you're looking at? He said, yeah, boss. Playing off that Colombo v. Judge fight. The workplace violence that we've been talking about. I kind of think that there might be some more workplace violence involving the XR4TI. Writ v. Hawk, who you got? And then he laid it out. He laid it all out, and he broke down the matchup and dropped a line on it as well. And then it turned into a poll, and Writ is the overwhelming favorite of you clones. So let me check in with the guy himself. Not you, old man. Adam. I know there's a reason. I know that you're desperate to get people to look at you. Otherwise, you wouldn't get a tattoo of your cat or put on that red sweater. But I'll indulge you. Why do you look the way you look today with your red sweater and your glasses? Your perfectly coiffed lettuce. Like, what's going on with you, man?
Honestly, Jim, and I'm being straight, I just had a wonderful weekend at the thrift store. It has nothing to do with seeking attention. It has to do with the season. It's getting a little chilly. My wife and I went into a thrift store, and I just cleaned up on cardigans. I picked up four different cardigans. It is officially cardigan week for me here, so get used to it because tomorrow and Wednesday will be cardigans as well. It has nothing to do with rope-a-doping writ, seeking attention on television. You know, back when this was a radio show and there weren't cameras, I still would have worn this and been happily under the radar. But we can't help that so many people view this show because it's such a wonderful show.
You'd be, quote, happily under the radar. So do you promise, would you swear that this has nothing to do with you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you, Rit?
I mean, I'll take
or
all the mercy I can get.
A thrift store cardigan. You wouldn't hit a guy with a used red sweater, would you, Rit?
Like I said, anything that gets Rit, oh, you know, not punching me in the face would be great. That would behoove me very much because 96% of the people that participated in the poll think that Rit would beat my ass. And I think sooner or later you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, is the general public wrong? That's a lot of people who think that. So maybe that old man strength is real. Maybe I am in for an ass beating.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. Now, normally when I see 96%, thank you, Adam. Thank you for nothing as usual. Normally when I see everybody going one way, I go the other way. And generally that works out pretty well for me. But sometimes there is a reason why everybody is going one way. Because everybody knows. So in this case, I'm going to go with the old man. All right, so there's your answer. He's not doing it for attention. He's not trying to get you to look at him. He's not trying to run some misdirection. He's not even showing up looking like that because he wants to give off the vibe that, hey, man, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you? He went to a thrift store and bought a bunch of used clothing and is going to rock it all week long. Luckily, it's a short week. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Buffalo. Jake in Buffalo. Jake, how are you? What's up?
Pimp in the box, what is up? Hey, I just wanted to run down a few thoughts about the subpar Josh Allen-less football I was forced to watch this Sunday. And watching the Pats take another L is never going to stop being fun for us Bills fans. While I watched that old, beleaguered Patriots juggernaut try to take on one of the most exciting and dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL, I couldn't help but think of the rumble in the jungle. That is the Rit v. Hawk Battle Royale. And much like that Patriots team, I think old man Rit can possibly hold down his own for a few rounds. But down the stretch, once his sugar high gives out and the insulin stops working, Rit's going to crumble like the Chips Ahoy he's been shoving down his gullet for the last 50 years. And I don't know about you, Jim, but I've never seen a fighter slamming Rice Krispie Treats and Cocoa Puffs in the corner between rounds. You can't carbo load your way to victory, Rit. And at the end of the day, Hawk's youth and speed is going to be too much for that old man. I mean, Hawk is the picture of physical prowess, having battled his way from severe back injury suffered while tying his shoes and learning to bob and weave his way through stationary cameras. Besides that, Hawk's style is impetuous. His defense is impregnable. Hawk's just ferocious. He wants your heart. Hawk wants to eat your children. Although I do worry about Hawk's attitude because I don't know if he has enough dog in him to win a fight. But if worst comes to worst, Hawk can just take a page out of Tyson's book and take a bite out of Rit's ears. But good luck in getting your mouth around those dinner plates on the side of Rit's head. Anyway, Jim, I'll leave you with this. Go, Hawk, go. Put Rit in a nursing home. Garrett Rit, hey, what do you say? Put on the gloves and put down that cake.
You go ahead and rack him. Jake in Buffalo breaking it down. All right, so in Adam's defense, it wasn't that he had to navigate his way around, quote, stationary cameras. These cameras move. Now, when he walked into it, it was not moving. But again, in his defense, it's nothing I haven't done. I hit that same camera one day. And as I mentioned the other day, I wasn't right for a week. It's like walking. It's like not even walking. It's like running at full speed into a brick wall. So who you got, Rit or Hawk? I thought that was one of the funnier segments in a long, long time. And what I thought was especially hilarious is when James Kelly, the flight deck, the big head, tried to explain the rationale behind his pick. Like, Hawk, you've got no stamina. And Hawk was just incredulous. Like, what are you talking about, man? I ran in a marathon. To which James Kelly responded, yeah, Hawk, in March.
You right. Suck.
I mean, he was so befuddled and bewildered, he just blurted out, you suck.
You right. Suck.
At Mock Moda tweets, Hawk is a liar. A liar and a kook. Drew West LA tweets, big fan of Hawk's fit. Signed, tenured literature professors wore elbow patches. D-Rod, dude, Sparrow, my 16-year-old daughter goes thrift store shopping. Grow up, Peter Pan. Jake Rome, too, man. Jake Rome's about that life also. Hey, Dad, you like this? No. It only cost me a buck. Right. And? I got it for a buck. Isn't it great? No. No, son. Why do you think your old man has busted his ass 16 hours a day for 40 years? So you don't have to put that crap on your back. Hawk should not be your role model, son. 1-800-636-8686. All right, when we come back, let's talk about the Chiefs and the Raiders. Good game last night. Good game last night, and it ended the way you would expect it to end. At least the way I said it would end, and it did. We will get to that next, but before we do...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is time to ask the pros, where y'all get to ask me a question. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. And you got to do it there. You can't do it on Twitter. You can't do it on the phones. It's got to be at CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Listen later on. I might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Just to finish the thought, I did hit Hawk up during the break, and I said, that sweet red sweater, how much that set you back? And the response was $8 plus dry cleaning, because the wife would not let him into the home with other people's clothing. But apparently he was able to rework his entire drobe for $25. I see you working, Hawk. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so last night's Kansas City-Vegas game lived up to the hype and then some, right? Everything about that game was good. Even the audibles. NFL games without the fans are different. And one of the differences is you can hear everything. And last night, it felt like Derek Carr was in my living room shouting out these audibles and calling out to NBA players.
On the run than it used to be.
James Harden!
James Harden makes his first appearance.
Yeah, wait to see what this is.
James Harden. James Harden. And he wasn't only going with current players, he was going deep into the archives as well.
Hey, here we go. Hey, Mike. Chris Mullin.
Yeah, right.
Chris Mullin.
What a basketball reference is tonight.
But Mitch Richmond did not want any of that. Timmy Hardaway did not want any of that. Billy Owens did not want any of that. James Harden, Chris Mullin. How about some love for my guy Tom Chambers? And there was more from both teams. There was a Purple Walrus, a Pistol Pete, and a Sammy Davis.
Purple Walrus, LA!
The other thing I could go on about is the fact that the Raiders took that victory lap around Arrowhead after beating KC earlier this season. Listen, the Raiders are nice. I'd even say the Raiders are really nice. But that right there is some high school level bullcrap. I mean, come on. You're going to take a victory lap in season. As I said on the NFL Today yesterday, the NFL season is 17 weeks long. Why is a head coach as smart and experienced as Jon Gruden taking his team on an actual, literal, not a metaphorical, an actual, literal victory lap in week 5? Did he have a parade down the strip when he got home as well in week 5? Hey, look, I get that these two teams don't like each other. I get that Arrowhead has been a house of horrors for the Raiders. But taking a victory lap in a nearly empty parking lot seems like such a rookie move. There are a billion reasons not to take a victory lap in week 5, but one of the biggest reasons was wearing a white jersey with the number 15 on it last night. Now, before I get to him and what he did, especially on that final drive, I want to be very clear about this. The Raiders are good. The Raiders are legit. I mean, they're not going to win the division, but I would not want to run into them in the postseason. I wouldn't want any piece of them. They're good. They lay lumber, they hit hard, and they do so on both sides of the ball. Josh Jacobs runs angry. He runs with some nastiness. And the defense, he's got a number of guys who are looking to fly around rocking 2x4s. I like the Raiders. And then you've got Derek Carr. Man, Derek Carr looked good. Derek Carr looked great last night. And there are a lot of people who owe that guy an apology for saying that he was done, or for saying that the Raiders should find somebody else at quarterback, or for saying that Chunk Gruden had no need or any use for him at all. We're talking about a guy who was an MVP candidate a few years back. And to me, he looks every bit as good now as he did then, if not better. I mean, my man was doing some Patrick Mahomes stuff last night, like on this play.
Here comes the blitz. Carr under pressure and gets it away. And it's caught up the 40-yard line. Waller and run out of bounds there. I think somebody had his hand on the left arm of Carr. He still got it away for a gain there of 18 yards.
Derek Carr has been great so far in this one.
Derek Carr was great last night and has been great for much of the season. I mean, this guy's making plays, lots of plays, like this one at the end of the first quarter.
Carr's in the gun. He's got the snap. He's back to pass. He looks. He floats it up left side for the end zone, and it is caught. Was he in bounds? He is. Touchdown, Raiders. Nelson Aguilar in the back corner of the end zone.
I mean, you could not have put that pass in a better spot. And the fact that he had that free play after drawing Kansas City offsides, I mean, that is some next-level stuff. And that touchdown pass gave Vegas the lead with 1:43 to go in the fourth quarter. That one was a perfect end to the drive.
Carter center takes the snap, fakes to Jacobs, back to throw, plants his feet, looking left, nothing there, scans the field. Carr moving to his right, Carr throws, corner of the end zone. That one is caught by Jason Witten. Was he in the end zone?
That's a touchdown.
They're going to call it a touchdown for the Raiders.
Derek Carr moved the ball, got out of the pocket with his feet, extended the play, and just fired a bullet to Witten right between the numbers.
Yeah, that, and they had a defensive end dropping in coverage. That's never a really good thing, even if it is Jason Witten you're dealing with. The fact of the matter is, Derek Carr looked great. I mean, great. And he was doing it with a busted-up offensive line and a defense that had swabbed their way onto the COVID list. And yet there was Carr going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes last night. The problem is he was going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes last night. Because if you do that against any other quarterback in the NFL, virtually, you play the way that Carr did, you're going to, quote Jameis Winston, eat a dub. And knowing them, knowing the Raiders, they would then be looking to take another lap around the stadium. But giving Mahomes the ball with that much time left on the clock is just asking for trouble. And this was on a night where Mahomes was good, but not at his Mahomesiest.
Mahomes?
He saved all that for the final drive. 7 plays, all passes, 6 completions. You could not make a game-winning drive look any easier than Mahomes did. He looked like he was going up against air. That didn't feel like an actual NFL game with actual stakes. That felt like guys in t-shirts and shorts getting some reps in the summertime. It was that easy. Except it was real. And that was against an actual defense. An actual defense who did not have a chance. Completion, incompletion, completion, completion, completion. And that got them into range for a field goal. A long one, but a field goal. Then one more completion into range for a much easier field goal. But why stop there? Why not just win this damn thing in regulation?
Shotgun snap to Mahomes. He's back to pass. He has time. He steps up. Mahomes throws for the end zone. Got a man wide open. It's Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. Travis Kelce was wide open in the end zone, and Mahomes finds him with 28 seconds left.
I mean, that was surgical. That was so easy. Touchdown. That final drive was so crisp and so sharp, and so smart, and so, so easy. And that's your warning shot to everybody else around the league. This is what that guy can do in that situation. And if you didn't already know, now you do. Andy Reid, jungle favorite. Andy Reid had this to say about Patrick.
I've got Pat Mahomes, so I know you give me a minute and a half, and I'm pretty big right there, you know. So we can roll. I'd take him over everybody, and I'm lucky to have him.
Pretty much. Travis Kelce put it another way. Quote, sure enough, 15 is always ready for the moment. End quote. Man, that is the truth. 15 is always ready for the moment. Again, it was so easy and so effortless that Kelce was giving Andy Reid a shoulder massage after the TD. That was awesome. That should be a new tradition. Hey, Ritt, instead of kicking Adam's ass, why don't you come up and give him a little shoulder massage? No? Anyway, that should be, that should be a tradition, right? You score a TD, you start rubbing on your head coach. Adam. Just kidding. I'm not sure what's more relaxing in the final seconds of a one-score game with a rival. Having Patrick Mahomes on your side or getting a massage from your star tight end. Tie for first. And most of all, this is why you do not take a victory lap in week 5. Because the other team can show up in your house later on and get nice with a victory massage. I don't know, Grudes. You're doing a good job. Better than I thought. But, head down, mask up, keep moving.
Hindsight 50-50.
Hindsight is 50-50. I just don't think that Andy is going to tell his bus driver to circle around the PF Chang's a couple of times before pointing that thing back to KC.
How about those Chiefs?
Man, I cannot believe how easy Mahomes made that look in that final drive. All right, coming up next, Mike Silver is a writer and an analyst for NFL Network. Lots of things to cover with him, including the story of alleged workplace violence. Judge v. Colombo, Ritt v. Hawk. Mike Silver joins me on the other side, and our phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.